Kowalski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. I don't know what that music was, but it sounded funny. At least it did for me. So, don't worry, though. It's me. I am here Monday morning. Well, Monday, it's evening now. I'm sorry. My whole day has gone by. And I, you know, I actually, in the midst of all this immigration insanity, I was going through customs yesterday. I was coming back from a quick trip. I was out of the country, Turks and Caicos, and coming back, I had to go through immigration. And I'll tell you this, while my Facebook might be on fire with every liberal crazy person who thinks that what Trump is doing is absolutely godforsaken and un-American, I ran into three of the most excited and happy Border Patrol agents that I have ever seen. That's right. They are stoked. They've got a bounce in their step. And I'll tell you, and I'll explain why and how this all fits in. Okay. So you've heard about the immigration order, the ban, the fascist decree issued by none other than Hitler Franco. All right, so what is it all? It's absolutely constitutional. We've got a president making a decision about who we let into this country. And by the way, when we talk about the Constitution, one small aside here. All right, the Constitution does not apply to non-Americans who live abroad. That's really important. This is just a little bit of law for all of you, a little 101. That's right. We can decide as a country who we want in, who we want out, and by what criteria. And the other thing I got to say to this is we ought to be doing that. It's something, in fact, that we want our leaders to do, and we've always used some criteria to determine who's in and who's out. Except, of course, when it comes to illegal immigration, which is a separate issue here. We're getting stuck at the airport, right? So these are people who are coming to this country. At least they're coming through a door, so we know who's coming in, and we're able to identify them. And in order to come from certain countries that don't participate in a visa waiver, who can come to this country automatically without getting a visa, you've got to get permission to come here. And the purpose of that permission is to make sure that you are not a bad actor, to make sure that when you come here, you're here to do good and not bad. I'm oversimplifying it, but that's the idea. If I've lost you at this point, if you don't think that that is the purpose of our government, that we should just have an open door policy, everybody welcome, one and all, and no criteria whatsoever, then you're insane. I can't talk to you. I mean, it's ridiculous. Would you leave your front door open to your house? Would you just unlock it, prop it open, and let anybody and everybody walk in and do whatever they please? I mean, it's not an absurd question. And I think the answer is, of course not. Which is why Nancy Pelosi has a giant wall around her house. And yet is up here talking about how she's crying. The Statue of Liberty is in tears over what Trump is doing. It matters who we let in and who we let out. Well, who we let in, certainly. So here's the thing. It's a reasonable deal. Now, Trump promised he promised this to us. You heard it. You heard that he was going to suspend travel from bad actor countries, from countries that are state sponsors of terror. And he was going to do it and review and implement extreme vetting. He promised it. He said he was going to do it. And here is where the media, here is where all of your crazy friends on Facebook, here is where your coworkers and people on the news, and they're completely missing it. What they're missing is that Trump was elected in part because of this promise. You know what people think of it, actually? Well, they did a poll, and this came out, yesterday, today? Rasmussen. 57% support a temporary ban on refugees from terror-exporting countries. 57%. And I'm going to add a caveat to that. I suspect this number is a little bit higher because, again, people, just as we had during the election, people are underreporting. Everybody that is on Facebook, everybody that's yelling on social media, everybody that's hysterically, you know, waving signs at everything at the airport, this is a small percentage of people. Quietly, there are many, 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 many more that support this, that think it's reasonable. In fact, there's many that expect their government to protect them. If you take Trump out of it, okay, and I know a lot of people don't like Trump, and make this about Trump is a fascist kind of a thing. You take Trump out of it. What do you got? You got basically the same thing Obama did. He did it in 2013. He did it in 2015. He did it in 2016. I mean, at one point, he banned any refugees from Iraq for 6 months. Banned them in toto. Think about that. A country we invaded, a country we have a deep responsibility to. You know, people screaming about this one translator at the airport, this one poor dude who came here, gave everything to this country, and he got stuck at the airport because of that evil Mr. Trump. Well, let me ask you this. Think about all the people that helped our country in Iraq that couldn't come here for 6 months because Obama closed the door on them. So where was Chuck, you know, Schumer with this crocodile tears then? Where was all the outrage on Facebook? Where was all this nonsense? It all comes down to politics. Folks, do not be disheartened. This is an absolute classic playbook, Democratic Party, liberal playbook that is being executed right now. And the idea is this. Trump made a promise. He said he was going to do this. Delegitimize and destabilize Trump by not letting him fulfill the promise. All of this is an effort to weaken not just you know, obviously inside the Democratic opposition to Trump, but get Republicans to join the opposition. And you're seeing it, right? You're seeing, you know, well, the typical actors. You've got who is it, McCain? And you've got all the fuddy-duddy, old school, you know, establishment Republicans are terrified of this. And so you can see them wobbling. But these are the people that have never been able to. McCain lost because he's a wobbler. And now you've got a guy who gets up, he promises that he's going to do something about immigration. He promises he's going to build a wall. He promises he's going to get, you know, we got to look critically at these people. They're coming into our country. You know, they're coming from places that chant death to America. We got a problem. Maybe we don't want to import them by the busloads. So what does he do? He says, all right, we're going to put a stop to it. It's reasonable. We're going to take a 90-day pause, take a breath, reevaluate our procedures, and come back with something that is a little bit more secure. And if it was done by anyone with a big D behind their name, it would be met with almost no, you know, outcry. But it's not. It's Trump. And the idea is, if you can get Trump to back away from any of his promises, he will lose his base. This guy, Trump may have small hands, but he's got big balls. He is going for this full on, and he's grabbing it. Did you just see what happened? John Wolf was just talking about it. So they had, you know, you heard this attorney general. CNN almost, you know, just was went head over heels because the acting attorney general, because Jeff Sessions hasn't been put in yet, right? Trump's attorney general has not been confirmed. So What do they have? They've got a leftover Obama administration, you know, hack, this woman who's acting attorney general. And she gets up and makes a big to-do, issues a statement how the Justice Department is not going to defend this likely unlawful order. And the language she uses is pretty mealy-mouthed. What does Trump do? He cans her. Just like that, cans her. The statement actually that says that she's canned is immediately followed up with her replacement has been sworn in, and we're gonna uphold this. This guy, the Democrats are at a loss as to how to counter this. They're at a loss, And so what you're seeing is this frothing and fuming at them, just nonsensical, crazy arguments. But one thing Trump cannot do is he cannot, if he abandons this promise, if he weakens on this in any way, shape, or form, he loses. He loses the people that put him in the White House to begin with. And this is a consortium of people. These are white conservatives, they're middle class people, they're lower middle class people, they're in many cases traditional Democrats, blue collar workers. But together they constitute a majority of the vote. And you see this, by the way, it's confirmed in this Rasmussen report, this polling here that's showing that this has broad support. So Trump cannot back down on it, and he's not. He's doing it exactly right. He is doing exactly what your typical politicians don't do, right? Typical politician comes to office, makes a lot of promises, panders to a lot of groups, checks those little boxes to bring those people on board, and then he gets in, and what happens? Nothing. Zip. It was lip service. And this is in part why you see the both establishment Democrats and establishment Republicans absolutely losing their minds over this. Because they realize suddenly they're dealing with someone who is consequential, okay? Who means what he says and says what he means. And so they're trying to turn him into a buffoon, and they're trying to say how he's absolutely it's un-American and heartless and cruel and mean-spirited, and Chuck Schumer and his ridiculous crying act, if you missed it. Just horrible. There's no audio. I can't even play it for you. It's just terrible. It's him crying up there with his usual, gets up there, to give a statement, drags up his typical casting call, victims, different, got a bunch of minorities behind him, his props. It's just sad. But it's an effort. They don't know how to attack it. They don't know how to deal with it. And it also shows that they still don't understand how Trump won. They must be sold on their narrative that it was the Russians, that it was, a witch's curse or whatever. But they don't get it. And I see this with my own friends. I see this with people I know. You probably do too. You probably see this. You're talking to people at work today. And everybody's just outraged, and you're quietly thinking to yourself, well, geez, I'm a real outlier here. But the problem is that there are so many like you who are quietly going about their day saying, when we're talking about people from Yemen and people from Somalia and the other hotbed, terrorist countries, maybe we really ought to be taking an extra close look at these folks. And that doesn't make you a racist. It doesn't make you a bigot. It doesn't make you Islamophobe. It doesn't make you a horrible person. It certainly does not make you un-American. And it just bothers me to no end that this is nothing more than a political stunt. This is nothing more than more of the same hand-wringing and whining and buffoonery that we've seen since Trump was elected. It's the same manifestations that we had after Prop 8. You remember that in California? Nobody did anything about, the opposition to Prop 8 was like, there's no way it's going to happen. Then it got elected in, right? And then all the outrage happened. Outrage always happens after they lose. And that's not, it's no defense of Prop 8. I don't think that was a good idea at all. I'm a live guy, but what I'm getting at is how the left organizes. This is, and these, by the way, organized 100% Soros backed. These people were on the ground ready to go. And so there is no country on earth that doesn't check who goes through their front door. It doesn't exist. I flew to a little country, Turks and Caicos, 35,000 people. The first thing they do is check my passport, run it through a database, give me a card. I'm only allowed to be there a certain number of days. I mean, it's strict. That is how things work. And this idea that no humans, like this is the best thing on Facebook, the greatest wisdom that the left can drop on me is no human is illegal. I mean, what a load of crap. We have to protect our borders. We have to do it. And it's 100% reasonable. And, well, hey, I got, just stay tuned. There's more on this, too. This stuff will boil your blood. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
The phone lines are open now.
Right now?
Right now.
At 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. America versus the borderless left. Yes, wide open borders, let everybody in. Because that's the Christian thing to do. Or I guess so goes the argument. Anyway, but I want to get to one point here that we were getting to. I was just developing earlier. We got a caller. Jeff in LA, are you there?
I am here.
Good. Now tell me about this. What's your impression of these protests? Because that's what you want to talk about these protests.
Yeah, my point is that what we're seeing is not a political stunt by political party members, but a massive spontaneous resistance across the country. George Soros is not calling up hundreds of thousands of people, which I know is the theory on the right that's happening. This is spontaneous protest. Like I haven't seen in my lifetime, and I've been around quite a while, and it's reflected by, Trump's approval rating started as the lowest of any incoming president, and it keeps falling. I think it's below 40% now. So this is a true resistance of the people that the Democratic politicians are now trying to grab onto and kind of grab the tiger by the tail.
Now, I think that's total nonsense. Well, let me tell you why, though. So, first of all, you've got Think Progress that's organized. I mean, these protests are being organized on Twitter. Think Progress is behind them. They're one of the big Soros groups. But let me just tell you one thing about the big misnomer here is the idea of the big vaunted, what is it, the popularity numbers, right? The job approval rating. See, everybody said there's no way Trump was going to win. Remember that? I mean, nobody was going to, Trump was, there's no way, no how was Trump going to win the election. Wasn't going to happen because every poll showed that he was trailing in all these different states. When you polled people on the issues that Trump stood behind, everybody was for it. I mean, there's numbers, in the 60 percentile range. So when you polled the issues, you found out that there was some kind of undercurrent for Trump support. But when you took, approval, do I like this guy, him versus Hillary, there wasn't. So it's an interesting thing. I'm looking at a poll. Rasmussen is actually tends to be, tended to underreport quite a bit support for Trump. But here, the support seems to be that people do want, people do want this ban. I mean, they do. So it, I don't know. Like, is it a, I mean, you think that. You see what I'm getting at here? What do you say to that?
Well, I think, first of all, the polls with respect to Trump, they weren't that far off nationally. Hillary was a couple points ahead. She ended up winning by a couple points the popular vote. So it wasn't that far off. It was off in a few of the states. I know lots of people who are spontaneously protesting. Yes, there are organizations that are helping do the protests, but what, there were 3 million people protesting worldwide the day after the election. That's popular uprising. That's not some political stunt. You can't get 3 million people to show up on some kind of a stunt. That requires dedication.
Well, I don't know that it's 3 million people. I don't know where that number's coming from. I mean, 3 million people wouldn't fit into the lobby of 30 major airports. This is a stunt I'm with you though. I know people who have gone to the airport and have shown up and made a sign and feel good, better about themselves for doing it. But I I definitely don't think that that this is this. Remember, too, I mean, who shows up in protests? I mean, it's always a it's a fringe group of people. It's people that have the luxury to be able to leave work, take time off, get away from what they're doing. And that requires, that's at the end of the day, that requires a special kind of person or some kind of funding. Anyway, but Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. I got to run. Thank you. And yeah, so when we come back, I have my own experience with citizenship. I'm coming to you. I really do. I understand the immigration. I understand immigration, but from a personal level, I've talked about it before, but I do want to address that because I think it's relevant in all of this. So I'll be back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC, bottom of the hour. Now, look, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, senator from New York, and now he's the ranking opposition to Trump member of Congress, right? He's the leader of the Senate, the Senate Democrats, and he and Ms. Pelosi are the face of the Democratic Party. A lot of Botox went into that face. I'm going to tell you that right now. So at any rate, you don't even have to go far back. What, let me see here, 11-17 of 2015. Don't be alarmed by the year. That's late 2015. So what are we talking about? Basically a year ago, year and a month. Schumer, refugee pause may be necessary. This as reported in TheHill.com. Senator Charles Schumer, New York, the third ranking member of the Senate Democratic leadership, said Tuesday it may be necessary to halt the resettlement of Syrian refugees in the United States. Now, I'm throwing this out there. It's a gratuitous pile-on, I realize. But do you see what I'm getting at? It's these people are phonier than a $3 bill. They are phonies. They are fakes. The tears are nothing more. What did Trump call it? A bad acting job? Or he called it a good acting job, didn't he? Wanted to know where his drama coach would be. So, I thought that was a good line. But his basic point was, I know Chuck Schumer, and this is out of character for him. Where, incidentally, were these tears? Where were these giant, soulful, America-loving, Democratic Party tears for the victims of terror attacks that happen here, oh, I don't know, time after time after time? Well, it's a real question I want to know. Because these same hacks who are talking all about how we got to have soul, we got to have heart, they're the people that are always what? Oh, wait, now we can't rush to judgment. We can't say, just everybody hang on. So no rushing to judgment when a terror attack happens, but oh, let's just immediately put on a spectacle. The minute Trump, you know, says, "Hey, put a pause on this. Let's practice some good housekeeping." You know, this reminds me. I think it was good housekeeping that brought my family to this country. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, you know what it took. So my parents, you know, may have the story. My parents emigrated here from Holland. Actually, originally from the Czech Republic, or back then Czechoslovakia, by way of Holland. And their story is incredible in that you would not believe the hoops, the murder of bureaucratic tape that my parents had to claw through to get here. And they had to earn their keep here too. I got it. You know, my mom came on a limited visa, right? That allowed her to be a postdoctoral teaching assistant at Northwestern University. So again, I mean, and by the way, you know, when this, these are visas that were given to people that, you know, had a certain level of education that were, I mean, it's very tough to get. And I always think, you know, I always think about this, you know, this sense of this idea that we should just let anyone in, that everybody deserves a chance to be here. We can't accept everyone. Like, we just, we're not going to fit. Okay. We got the country. Every country has to limit what, you know, who they bring into, you know, bring in. But the other part is we want to pick people. And Trump said this on the campaign trail. It's so true. It rang true. You want people that are going to come here to help build up America. You want to bring people here who are more likely than not to assimilate. And so you do want to look at their backgrounds. And that's exactly what happened with my parents when they came here. And this was, boy, this was in the big, you know, Live Large Carter years. So I'll tell you more. It's funny because and the paperwork required if you want to go to another country. Boy, I don't think you have any idea what that's all about. I got a story for you when we come back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
All right. Sam Rojofsky here. You know, Sicily was in the news. This is Sicily, Italy. A town of Corleone. I'm just joking. It's Monreale, but whatever. Close enough. Humor me here for a minute. Apparently, the circus had come to town. This is, of course, in a place where they still have circuses. Not too much political correctness, I guess, down there. They still have animals doing tricks. But one of the animals, namely a white Bengali tiger, decided that perhaps a night out on the town would be better than staying at the circus. And so he escaped. And imagine the shock and horror of people that were out and about in this little town when suddenly they came upon a tiger prowling the streets. Nope, no bites. There were absolutely no bites. Nobody was harmed. I've got a picture here of him corralled in some sort of a makeshift cage. But the cop is standing there holding a gun just in case. So what would happen if you are just strolling around, you know, your neighborhood, let's say, I don't know. Say you're in Roland Heights. You're just, you know, enjoying having a nice, quiet evening. And all of a sudden, a white Bengali tiger comes along and takes a nice little nibble out of your upper calf. Or worse, geez, could get ugly fast. You got it. What do you got? You got to call Sweet James, right? You need a lawyer that specializes in tiger bites, obviously. I actually don't know if he's ever handled a tiger bite, but I imagine, you know what, that circus would be liable. I mean, when you have a dangerous animal like that, there's strict liability. You've got to keep it away from humans. So it doesn't matter how that animal gets out. You're screwed. And Sweet James is going to make you pay. So, yeah, you go to the lawyer that we trust. The only lawyer you should trust. He's your lawyer, my lawyer. He's Sweet James Bergner. And you got to call him. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right. Hey, so about this immigration thing and all the people that think that, you know, the border just wide open. Come along, you know, just walk on over, no wall, no anything, just come on in. By the way, citizenship, I mean, what really is that? I mean, we just get these refugees from here and from there and from everywhere and whatever, and it doesn't matter. You know, I was born here, right? So I have a birthright citizenship as an American to American citizenship, and then I'm also ethnically Czech, right? And this, you know, I'm saying that I go back generations. My parents are Czech, my grandparents, my great grandparents, and so forth and so on. So I was eligible for citizenship. I was eligible to become a Czech citizen. By birth as well, but I never handled any of the paperwork, and so as an adult, I went to do it. You would not believe the amount of paperwork required to get something for which I was 100% entitled. I mean, there was no judgment required, right? There was no, there was no discretion on the part of the Czech authorities whether to grant or deny. I was eligible for it as a matter of law. And even then, what did I have to do? I mean, I had to prove it up, down. Do you know how long it took me, by the way? About a year. About a year of paperwork back and forth. And there are international law. There's international law set up, like how to certain documents have to be authenticated. They're called apostilles, and there's this whole body of law that has to deal with just how to prove who you are, and why you belong. And yet we are supposed to just. I mean, what kind of what are we getting the right documentation for these folks that are coming from Syria? From Sudan, from Yemen, do we know who they? Because that's the big thing. We don't have good established procedures for vetting these guys, and every person, most people get that. They understand it. They intuitively understand it. And it's not the people protesting at the airport, whether they're paid to protest or not. All right, back right after this. Sam Rogowski. Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Oh, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, and the great vacationer-in-chief... One Barack Obama has surfaced. That's right. He came up from air. I'm not sure. Is he still in the Bahamas? I might have flown right over him. I was in Turks and Caicos for a night this weekend. So it's a long story. I was in Florida first, and then. And then I couldn't stay in Florida. There's only so much time that you can be over there, and Florida's a weird deal. It's a weird deal, and you got a bunch of New Yorkers who are sort of half baked in the sun and humidity. And then you can only listen to people how they're going to hurricane proof their home so many times. So anyway, long story short, I ended up in Turks and Caicos, and it was lovely. I had a great time, great people, and met some great people there as well. So, long story short, here Obama resurfaced, and I think he might still be vacationing. Last we heard, he was on Necker Island, which is Branson's private, Sir Richard Branson's private island in the Caribbean, and. Citizens exercising their constitutional right to assemble and organize have been heard of, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I can't even, this is so insipid and vacuous and just nothingness of just BS. Trump gets out there and says, this is how it's going to be. Is that what we're going to do? And done. And Obama gets up there and says, that was 8 years of just vacuous blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there's a criticism in there of what Trump is doing here, that this is not American, this isn't kind or whatever it was. And the interesting thing is, I'm just gonna remind everybody here. I mean, the 2013, Obama himself banned Iraqi refugees, suspended them for 6 months. 2015, Congress presented and passed, and then Obama signed restrictions on visas from states of concern, and then in 2016, which is just last year, not that long ago, expanded restrictions. But the other thing that I think is more interesting is when you look at the Syrian refugees that were led into the country, year after year, the numbers were actually quite small. I mean, we had that's right. Obama didn't let very many of them in, except for when it came to the end of his presidency. In the last year, the floodgates opened. It spiked what? 300%, something like that? It's not, no, it's not an accident. He started letting them in en masse as soon as he realized that he wasn't going to be politically responsible for the consequences. That's what it was. And as soon as Trump was elected, then it really spiked. You remember that? The last minute refugees admitted into the country. Now, I know if you're an Obama apologist, you're going to say, well, that's just because, you know, he knew that evil Trump was going to close the door. So he had to help as many people as he could. Really? You waited right till, you know, like, I don't know, the last day to help people? Where were you for the last, 7.9 years? And besides, I think really it was out of spite. It was just part of the entire, packet or bouquet of lovely little piddle-diddles that Obama left behind for the Trumpster to clean up. So I'm pointing all this out. By the way, where did those six countries come from, right? The countries everybody's saying, oh, it was, Trump's got his, he picked the countries that he doesn't have business dealings in. Or what else was it? Oh, he's picking on Muslims. He's picking on Muslims, really? Well, shoot. Last time I checked, he didn't list all Muslim countries, Muslim majority countries. And so you got people criticizing that too, right? Well, he didn't put Saudi Arabia. They got terrorists there. Yeah, they do. But they're not one of the countries that is, singing, death to America in the streets and condoning it the way Iran does. Which brings me to a really important point. It's not a Muslim ban. And I give you this as an idea. If you know anything about history, you remember that Iran was not always a crazy place. Once upon a time, there was a guy there, the Shah. We supported him until Jimmy Carter came around. Long story short, it was a great Western, civilized modern country. And then the crazies took it over. Muslims didn't take it over. A crazy fundamentalist Muslims took it over. And the place went to hell in a handbasket. Anybody who's here from Iran can tell you that. I tell you, there's no way that Iran would be on this list. A list, by the way, that Obama put together. I was going to mention that earlier. There's no way Iran would be on this list if the crazies hadn't taken over. It's about politics. This is a political decision. It's a smart decision. And we'll keep you informed about it. I'm back on Thursday, 2 days off for the Kings. Go, Kings, go. I'm going to miss you. I'll be back Thursday night. John Wolf with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. To the shindig, chopped up, it says I'm going to win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Just get close and do